This is RSVB Update, episode 490, recorded Friday, November 7th, 2014. The Proton Pack. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVB Update, another episode of the Winding Adventure that talks about RuneScape-related updates, a bit of tech news, and any other little things that might come out. Joining us this week is our favorite friend,
Becky.
Welcome back. It's been a little while, but...
Yes, it was an eventful Halloween.
Yeah, bonus XP weekend, but we'll get to all those activities, you know, in a little bit. I know it was particularly useful for both of us, but not to spoil anything. You know, rightly so, the mood that I've been getting for most of what's been going on this week on RS has really been that of, you know, bonus XP weekend's done. It means it's finally time to just, you know, relax and rest and not, you know, be...
With Red Bull and monsters.
Yeah. I don't want to use the term RS hangover, but... but we're all... I know this week I felt considerably tired after... you know, the entire RS stuff that we've all been up to. So, nonetheless, rightly so, we got an update this week that fits right in with that kind of rhythm. And that is a little bit of a patch week update, something we haven't seen in quite some time. So
I actually added a bug in, which we'll get to later.
Okay.
On this out about an hour ago.
All right, you can tell us about that.
Yeah.
So, I guess maybe I'll ask you. I've made some notes of things that are interesting in the patch notes this week, but anything jump out at you that's particularly shocking or interesting?
You mean the grouping system?
Okay, yeah, we can start with that. Let's start with that.
Thing where, you know, it was dead on arrival, and we thought of ways to actually make it better, and they couldn't figure out that maybe this would be a good idea to not have offline people hosting a party.
Yeah, and, you know, rightly so. That is one thing in the grouping system that was fixed, and that is now there's going to be a smaller chance of seeing people who are offline when you're being grouped with them, which is fabulous. And, you know, quite honestly, I have no idea why something like this would have even been allowed to happen in the main sort of thing, but who knows? Who knows? So that is... one of the many changes made to the grouping system this week, and all these changes, I think, do make the grouping system a whole lot more viable, and at the end of the day, you know, make it feel that, oh, it's not just here for the hell of it. To give you some examples, in addition to people not appearing offline, matchmaking has been improved, so you'll go to where you need to be put rather than, you know, in addition to being put offline, you might get put in things where, well, you just don't fit in. Option for a minimum of 10 kills in the chosen boss group now, or you can only join groups that meet that.
See, told you. That's told you they should have done that from the very beginning, especially with Farrakhan and whatnot.
Yeah, and I mean, even the Kalfight King, for example. Like, you get enough people, you will succeed at that. But still, if you're going with a minimal amount of people. And you have people who are, you know, screwing up. Well, it's not exactly the best experience. So I think that's another thing we suggested that was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coin share and loot share. Now in the grouping system. You don't need to enter another friend's chat.
Okay, that's good. Maybe we should do this instead of doing the whole friend chat thing if it was like just the five of us.
Yeah, but, you know, friends chats work if you've got your group that's already...
No. I may be just really stupid. I can't get it sure to work properly with me. But maybe I should just talk to you about it in a future day, but I just suck.
I mean, yeah, I've never had any issues with that, so let's talk about that later. But when the grouping system came out, I think we were both of the opinion that this thing had promise and, you know, it could ultimately have delivered on this, but it didn't. And it just seemed like such a glaring omission at the time, and maybe it didn't appear through playtesting. But in any case, that's all here now, so that makes it better.
And they stole something from Dungeoneering, too, the view stats option. Available in grouping interface on base levels and XP to be viewed by other group members.
Oh,
why they took that? Why they took that out of Dungeoneering is the most annoying thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was actually useful to see if somebody was fibbing about their Dungeoneering level, or also the other thing is to see if, you know, you have a nice, well-balanced team, or like, hey, we need somebody with a little more non-combat-related oriented, and hopefully you can find someone. Besides, you know, it was useful. Although now I've found out how you can get around the whole fibbing of Dungeoneering level thing.
How?
After I found that. Oh. Set your floor to what level you want, and those who do not meet that level cannot be added in.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
If you want people who are level 100 Dungeoneering, you set your Dungeoneering floor to level 50. Anybody who's not 100 can access it. So, there you go.
Whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo. Okay.
People can be angry. Okay, Iron Man changes. I like the fact that they make Soul Wars and Conquest available for Iron Man people. That's always. I think that's a good thing for them to use.
Yeah, I do too. And one of the biggest criticisms of Iron Man is that RS is an MMORPG, meaning you are supposed to interact with people in-game. But the idea with Iron Man is that you ought to be self-sufficient. So there's kind of this weird thing that doesn't really make sense that, you know, you're in RS and you're supposed to be interacting with people, but at the same time, you can't because Iron Man has made it especially a single player thing. So, I mean, yeah, definitely. Good this is here. And I know Soul Wars and Conquest, well, maybe not Conquest. I only played that once, and I don't know anybody who actually plays Conquest, but if you're out there, good. Other Iron Man modes changes. Death broadcasts are now only if you're at level 750 or above. So I guess enough time has spanned that the deaths we'll be seeing are at 750 and above, which I guess makes sense when you think about it.
Yes. And let's see what else we got. Ninja Team did a bunch of little mini updates. Sorry. Quick teleport options on right click are now available on the equipped clan Vex. However, I found this about an hour ago. If you wield it and you try to teleport to Pernifus, it doesn't work.
Interesting.
It actually brought me back to Falador. I was like, huh? Had to unequip it and teleport to Pernifus, then go into my clan teleport.
You mean Pryftinus, not because you're saying Pernifus as in Canifus and Pryftinus combined.
Elf City, there we go. Let's see. Let's see, players can now walk through the Tavali Dungeon Gate by simply clicking on the gate rather than needing to manually use a dusty key on it. That's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Baby dragons have been graphically updated. Okay. I didn't see them yet, though. Camulet now automatically states how many charges remain upon teleporting.
Who needs the Camulet anymore with the desert lodestone? The ability.
Use the Camulet because you can talk to monkeys and camels.
Oh, okay. Cramulet.
That's right. Let's see. Right-click option has been added for crafting various blocks in Dungeoneering puzzle rooms. That's good. It'll be helpful with those golem when things are attacking you. Let's see. Also good with those statue rooms as well. Let's see.
There's definitely lots of interesting ninja fixes here. One thing that jumped out at me right away was a large number of skilling animations throughout the game have been updated. One of the ones included in this is when you pour super compost on a farming patch, you now see a little bit of a green thing coming out of the bucket, though I don't exactly know if compost should be green, but we'll just take it because, you know, it's a very deep green and not like a brownish green as, you know, you could kind of expect it to maybe be. So that might be something to think about going forward. Yeah, there's that one. Custom buy and sell thresholds in shops to determine when you receive a warning about selling an expensive item. So I guess maybe if 1 million GP isn't that much to you and you want to sell it to a shop, then you can. Or if 50K is enough for you, you can just sell it to the shop right there. So I guess that's what that...
Where you can buy the 476,000 GP worth of battle staves in Varrock.
Yeah, there you go. That too. That is definitely something that you could think of for buying like that. And, I mean, I think that if you're experienced and you're, you know, doing the battle staff thing, you probably do know what is happening with that. So that's a good update. Max and comp cape owners can now store up to 3 presets for their cape, the color presets. That's nice for them. And something I have personally wanted for a long time, you can now see which bank tab an object is in while searching for it.
Yay.
Yeah, is it in the summoning tab or is it in the magic tab? That sort of thing. Very nice to see that. One ninja thing I think that I would like to see brought into game at some point in the future. It's more of a UI fix than anything else. It's an issue with the ribbon in that if you put the ribbon on the right-hand side of your screen, the first icon when you mouse over them disappears. So that's kind of annoying because I would like to use the ribbon on my right-hand side of the screen, but I can't. Okay. All right. Anything else for you in here?
No, it's been a very good week for, you know, fixing bugs and pugs and here and there, making some minor updates.
Yeah, and like I said, you do need to take a bit of a break from the mainstream updates in order to get something like this out. So, alrighty. Moving on to the polling update this week, we have two very close polls to talk about. The first one is kind of unique in that it's limited to only Iron Man accounts, and that is that should Iron Man accounts be able to participate in bonus XP weekends or events? 46% say they should, 49% say they should not, and 4% don't care. Now, we don't have Iron Man accounts, but what would you say if you did have an Iron Man account?
I would say yes. Like, you know, maybe not if you want to make it like 1.5 or one, you know, make it 1.7.
Or give them the free to play 1.2.
Sure, I guess that's really being a jerk, but you know, everybody's having their little ways of manipulating, getting a bit faster and whatnot. I mean, I don't think of being able to use double XP for like what, 2-3 times a year is really gonna change a lot of stuff. Especially you can't trade with anybody. You know, like what I'm thinking to probably do combat to save up everything, and when it's almost time, hey, double XP is coming out, you guys have a chance, use everything up.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but at the same time, I think Iron Man is meant to be the kind of pure form of RS, and that, you know, you don't want it having bonus XP, so I would say no to this kind of event going forward, just to keep it as pure as we can, because let's remember there was also a project that was brought into the community's enjoyment, say, in 2013, called RuneScape Old School, that initially focused on a restore of the 2007 game. And the idea behind this was to give people an older feeling of what RS was. And, you know, the only thing I truly thought about a good thing was a good thing about old school was that it was in essence maintaining a time capsule, and it slowly and slowly but surely morphed into something else that's, you know, completely different from what the game was in 2007, which is really annoying to me. And I don't want the same thing happening to Iron Man either. So that's why I think voting no on this is very important.
But considering it's almost 50-50, I'm thinking the ones who say no, either the ones who are already cheating or the ones who are very, very diligent in getting that 99 thieving in about 1 week.
Yeah, and also the 46% is huge. This is not a majority vote. You know, if you counted some of the I don't mind, you could fudge it to be that way. But at the same time, 46% is a substantial number, you know, showing what's going on here. So I, you know, at this point, you know, there's got to be some sort of talk as to what goes on inside JX about when we have something this close with so many I don't minds, which way do we go?
Well, you know, if you want to compromise, do a 1.5 or 1.7. I mean, those who are double XP is double, so
yeah,
if you get less. That's the case.
Because if you take the 4% of I don't mind, you can get 50% on the yes side. If you take the 4% on the no side, you get 53%. So, and you got to assume that they're going to split somewhere in the middle, so you could maybe say this is tied if you know, the I don't mind, I don't care vote is in there. So, I don't know. This is a very tricky decision for them. And, you know, at this point, I think anything will be stepping on toes of one group or the other. Though it's quite obvious, I think, that the no side should win, just to keep it in mind as to what Iron Man is and keeping it true to that vision all the way through its iterations, if you know what I mean.
Well, keep in mind, you're still being self-sufficient. You can't trade with, you're not supposed to trade with anybody. You have to, you know, you're basically saving up all the stuff for one explosive day. You're not, you know, going out buying everything all at once to do whatever. You save it up for that specific day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a huge, huge issue because you're still being self-sufficient. You're just using double XP as a catalyst to get there just a little bit faster.
Yeah, and I mean, it's for that reason double XP is available to everyone. So in the way, it's not devaluing Iron Man mode as much as someone who is cheating would, if you know what I mean. But anyways, we've gone on this one long enough for people that don't have Iron Man characters. So as we move away from Iron Man, we head into, you know, one of the closest polls that's ever been talked about in the polling system. That's pertaining to monster aggression. And this, of course, also goes back to one of the more polarizing polls earlier in the year. The reversal of the combat formula and combat changes in general. So, monster aggression. Leave it as it is, or make him more aggressive?
More aggressive.
Okay. Now, this is only going to be for a list of select NPCs. And these NPCs are the Lesser Demon, Greater Demon, Black Demon, Banshee, Mighty Banshee, Aberrant Spectre, Lizard, Desert Lizard, Small Lizard, Kurosk, Harpy Bug Swarm, Skeletal Wyvern, Brine Rat, Mutilated Blood Veld, Dark Beast, Mullinisk, Hill Giant, Fire Giant, Moss Giant, Mogre, the Baby Dragons, Blue Dragon, Red Dragon, Black Dragon, and Green Dragons.
Yes to everything except the Skeletal Wyverns.
Okay.
Things.
Now, making them aggressive is how they used to be. Do you remember back in the olden days, the formula for monster aggression used to be your combat level divided by 2 plus 1.
Right.
Anything over that level was aggressive to you. And anything under was non-aggressive. I think right. That's what we ought to go back to if we're going to start making things aggressive. And here's right. Why. If we're trying to make things aggressive to, you know, make the game more difficult and, you know, have combat, you know, be a true art and maybe, you know, so you have to use the AoE abilities if you're going somewhere rather than just picking one character off at a time. I think everything should be made aggressive. So yes, this means things like the Iron and Steel Dragons, if we're going to go down that road. So if we're going to go aggressive, I'd like to see everything made aggressive. as per the old combat formula as to what it would be. Your combat level divided by 2 plus 1. Anything over that, it's aggressive to you. Anything under, it's not aggressive. Now, with that being said, I think there's also an argument for leaving things as is. Non-aggressive, and here's why. You and I both know that AFK training, entirely popular before this stuff came back. And what is one thing that's required to make AFK training happen?
Make things more aggressive so they auto-attack you?
Exactly. So I think that we can increase game engagement and reduce the amount of AFK combat players by leaving things exactly as they are. And that's why for this poll, it's actually the only reason for this poll that I'm voting to leave things as they are. I would like things to appear harder and whatnot as well, but the way I see it, the list of NPCs shown here that would be made aggressive, it's just not enough. I mean, lesser demons and greater demons, come on. Who fights those that is going to get hurt? It's the lower levels who are going to get hurt here with this. And, you know, if that's the kind of thing we're wanting to foster, we should definitely foster it through all of the combat levels from 3 to 138. So that's why I think if the things are going to be made aggressive, you go all in. But I think leaving things non-aggressive right now improves game interaction in that you actually have to go in there and click on things to not AFK trade. You get to pick and choose how many you go up against, whether it's 1, 2, 5, or 10. And also it allows you to have more tactical use of the AoE combat abilities.
Right. But on a little bit of a side note here, I think people will still be engaged because unless you're going momentum, which is utterly crap, you're going to be using legacy mode. So if you're using legacy mode, you want the AFK training because you can really just stand there and watch.
Yeah.
The other thing is, for most people, they were using Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And Revolution, in order to use some of the higher up abilities, you have to, you know, thresholds and ultimates, you have to be a little bit more engaged and press buttons. But the other thing is also, if the allies are constantly aggressive, you don't have time to really heal yourself as much with regenerate. So you're kind of forced to either use food or use the Ice Asylum if you unlocked it, or Guthix Blessing. But remember, Guthix Blessing has the ability of that thing dying to an attack.
Yes.
So this, depending on, you know, what level you are, you may end up using more food to keep yourself alive while fighting some of these monsters. And if that's the case, well, hey, that means my price of my rocktails go up even more.
Yeah, and according to Mod Days on the forums, if you're higher level than the monster, it will behave in a similar way to before when it would stop being aggressive if you're too strong. So, I mean, it's really for these lower level critters. And let's see, is there anything on this list that you could easily, you know, AFK? I mean, greater demons with the cannon, remember that? Or black demons, sorry.
Hey, you still got plenty of safe spots there as well. Lesser demons, those are good to slay if you're, you know, mid-level.
Same thing with Aberrant Spectres. Lots of herbs there.
Yeah, herbs.
I mean, if you're higher level than them, it'll behave like it is now. But I don't know. I got to still go with leave as is, even with all these caveats here. It just makes more sense to me. You're still going to go as make aggressive?
Yes. Although I don't slay anymore, or not as much as I used to be. Would have been nice.
All right. And just to tell you how close this is, as of producing the show about an hour ago.
It's like 300, no, like 200.
A little bit over, about 750, give or take. 41,046 for make aggressive. 40,792. For leave as is. And earlier in the week, this was within 300 votes. So it was very close. It looks like leave as is pulling away. We'll have to see if this holds for the 5 days or however many days are left in the poll. I think it's maybe 3 now. I'm not sure, seeing as this was a diamond and it's only running for a week. But we'll have to see if this holds up. So go out there, think. I personally advocate everyone voting for leave as is, and you say make aggressive. So there's your two cases for that right there.
Oh, all right. And next but not least, Death's Door. Yes. Did you like it, yes or no?
I voted great. I enjoyed it.
Yay. Don't spoil it for me. I haven't done it yet.
It's gone. It's out of the game.
Oh, that thing. Never mind. I'm thinking of the haunted house. Durr.
Death's Door is the Halloween event that's gone.
Yeah. Right.
Broken Home is the quest.
Sorry.
Yeah, so what did you think of the Halloween event in that case?
I enjoyed it. You know, grab my proton pack, catch some ghosts, be a Ghostbuster. It was cool. I enjoyed
it. Does it make you Captain Proton?
No.
Okay, because you said proton.
I said proton pack.
Yes. Okay.
You don't get it.
Well, I get something, but we're obviously not on the same page for that. Anyways.
For those who still don't know, Shane just made a Star Trek reference.
Yeah. Black 20, and white. 26%, it was okay. 12% didn't like it. 19% didn't have time to play it, and 6% didn't want to play it. 35%, a plurality, saying that they enjoyed it, combined with the 26% who said it was okay, brings us to 61% who said it was okay or great. And this is the Halloween event that was chosen and crafted by Jagex after the failed polls that were run earlier this year. I'm not going to beat this drum, but you guys know what this means. It means Jagex's event garnered more support than the supposed Spider Halloween event did in the polls.
Okay.
And that I am happy about.
Okay, let's All right. see. Next up, we have the Well of Goodwill. And we've donated a nice lump sum of cash, and I wish it went into my bank account. Yes. Give me 1 second. Let me pull this back up here really quick.
172,394,356,688 GP has been donated in 1 week. Which is just super when you think about how much actual real money that is. Combined with the 6,044 bonds that have been done already. So, good job, everyone.
Let me see. So, just to read off here really quick, for every 5 million coins worth of in-game wealth donated, Jagex will donate $1. Any in-game wealth you can give. And for every bond that you give, all proceeds from the bond will go into the well, will go straight to charity. As of right now, we have...
So for every 5 million, it's $1, right?
Yeah. $1.
34,478.87.
Right. Let me see. As of right now, the top coin donator is dead. That's his name. He is dead. At, was it, what, 5, almost 6 billion GP? Am I reading this right?
Yep.
Okay. And top bond donator is Cuckoo. We're doing 403.
Oh, my. Wow.
Someone made these names up just because they knew they could be number one.
Yeah, it could be. That could be the case. But nonetheless, good job, community. And we're only 7 days into this, so it's going to be really amazing to see what's going on here. Well done. I'm very pleased with that.
I wonder if we can get to the 1 trillion mark.
I don't know. We're just, you know, almost 2/10 of the way there, so maybe. But, you know, if I remember the way it worked last time with Well of Goodwill, the vast majority of what came in during the first couple weeks and then at the final push. So, I don't know. Maybe not.
Anyway, if I click on the bonds tab, we've raised over $30,000. Not sure if that includes just bonds or coins as well.
I think it would include bonds.
and coins, both of them together, yeah. Or okay. So yeah. So what a bond is worth roughly what, $5 US?
Yeah, I think, or? They were gonna give him the entire cash value for the bonds, if I remember correctly.
Right. So that's what it says there. All proceeds from bonds will put into go straight to charity. So if you really want to do a little bit more, buy a bond with gold and sell that.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so we also had this thing called the Clan Cup wrapping up from Clan Month back in August. Seems so long ago. We got the winners here. A whole selection of them, actually. So too many to read out. But you can head on over to the news post and have a look. Combat, EOC, and Legacy was Titans Revolution. Mini Combat Cup, a whole selection of those. The Slayer Cup, Efficiency Experts. Skilling Cup, Hola Amigos. Boss Cup, Araxor, the Nexicans. That's funny. The Nexicans. The Nexicans. QBD, 0 PVM. Nex, 0 PVM. And Hard Mode Virago, Virtuous in Pride and Domination. And Iron Quest, Clan Lornab, and Quest Run Cup, the Scrying Pool. So there you go. That's the Clan Cup for this year.
Okay. No. Let's see. Yeah, so anyway, congratulations to all the clans for participating, and great job to you all. And next up, shall we move to the boss outfits that just came out?
Yeah. Reason I put this in here, mainly for the King Black Dragon outfit, because like it's only got one head. I was hoping that with something like this, you'd end up having three heads, just like the KBD has currently, you know?
I like that one, though. I think if you do without the headgear, you look like something menacing.
Yep, definitely. And
another one is Nex. Nex looks just like a red vampire.
Yeah, that I have to agree with. I don't know. It doesn't seem very special, but the...
Nex looks like a lizard with a flamingo wing. Think about it. Look at it.
Yeah, it's true. Except the legs. See? The legs aren't flamingo-like, though.
That's a reptile body with the flamingo wings.
Okay, gotcha.
And let me double check here. Oh, hell.
And don't you have KBD heads in your house?
No, I have that one in my bank. But I have an abyssal head. I can't get more heads.
Bonus points out there to anyone who remembers a clip show many, many years ago. And in that case, we're moving on to behind the scenes for Elf City Batch 2.
Yeah, it's coming next week, I believe, ain't it?
It is. A whole bunch of things popped up in this Q&A here. Is the city going to be complete? Any plans to, you know, add the crystals on top of the towers that we saw in the design documents, that sort of thing? Are some of the requirements going to be specifically for the Motherlode Mon? You know, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at things, that will require 115 dungeoneering.
Okay.
So you can watch this video for a whole lot more info about what's coming next week. And this transfers us nicely into questions, unless there's anything about the video you want to mention. So the Elf City BTS video transfers us nicely into questions. We got an audio question from Parnassius, and it's worth noting that this question was also asked by Flash. So they're the same question. So this is question can effectively be thought of as from Flash and Parnassius, though Parnassius asked it in audio form.
Hiya, Shane and Tricky, Parnassius here. With Jagex announcing the second batch of Elf City being released this month, what part of it are you most looking forward to? Also, the new potions come with it look pretty interesting, but do you think they may be a little OP? And speaking of Herblore, I'm on your side, Shane. Earth is wrong. The H is not silent in Herblore. It is pronounced Herblore, not Herblore. And on that note, I hope you all have fun with the update when it arrives.
Well, thank you. I know, you know, saying Herblore and Herblore are two very different things. I think many of the Americans do say it that way. Though I know we here, at least people I know, pronounce the H, which is how it should be in my view. So
potato, potato.
Yeah, exactly. And
color and cooler.
And how would, you know, there was a president in the U.S. named Herbert Hoover. How do you say his name?
Herbert.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. So what are we looking forward to in Elf City?
You go first. You need a little bit more than I do. I'm a little bit out of the loop.
Well, for me, the number one thing is going to be the potions. The combined overload potions, combining overload with super anti-fire is very interesting to me.
Oh, really? Queen Hallelujah!
Yep, for the Queen Black Dragon specifically.
Oh, hell. That means I can't make more overloads. God damn you, Shane.
Well, the only downside of that for me is that this might be a recipe unlocked through dungeoneering. So, yeah.
Hey, I've trained Joel, my young Padawan.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry, it's rated G.
Okay, but I've already got 90-plus dungeoneering, and I don't want to train that anymore. So, I mean, that's my only concern coming through with this, is that I might have to do some more dungeoneering with that. But aside from that, I'm very interested in getting my 7th fruit tree patch, which will come with batch 2. There's also some other farming moss options that can be used in Herblore as well, so more tying those in. I know I'll be very interested in what we can do with that. Agility updates, apparently you're supposed to be able to have a chance at getting a crystal seed by doing an agility lap around the city, so that'll be good, seeing as I have not been able to acquire a crystal seed yet, seeing as I do not have the hunter level, nor do I have access to the max guild. Crystal flasks are also very nice for me too. I like that. And I mean, lots of little things like that. I mean, I'm not too much on the hunting side and whatnot, but
I'm looking forward to really exploring Herblore stuff as well. You know, I think that's really the core of the elves. You're supposed to be more, you know, potion and magical friendly and whatnot. So I'm interested in what new potions they're bringing in. I'm looking forward to really exploring the rest of it, see what's there, and really just, it's supposed to be a big city for thieving too, so yeah. I'll put on my ghostly robes and no one will ever see me. Funny enough, I actually got a new pair, so I don't know what to do with that one. All right.
Yeah, it's got to be the potions and potion combining for me. Everything else, you know, just seems okay, it's there, but we can access it in our end game city. I mean, maybe the divination stuff. I know I was I specifically stopped at 96 divination because of that. I don't even know why I continued past 95 with that knowing. But anyways, divination, I'll feel like maybe I can get 99 divination now, seeing as I like that skill. So we'll see how it goes with this.
Yeah.
Also, let's see. Where is the overload with anti-fire? What am I looking here? I'm trying to figure this out, but anti-fire overload. Yep. That comes from dungeoneering.
Sweet. What level?
Level 97 Herblore.
97 Herblore? Okay.
Yep.
We need tokens then?
Yep, dungeoneering plus 700k to unlock the recipe. I don't know what you'll have to do with dungeoneering, but hopefully it won't be too bad.
Let's scroll.
Yeah. And, so you know, that might that might increase my Dungeoneering training. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
Anyways, all right. You?
Me? Oh, that's about it. I already have all my Dungeoneering, so let's go.
All right.
Okay. So next up, we have another second question. This question is from Brandon144. Hey Shane, it's Brandon144. Recently I hit Slayer really hard and just got to a level where I can sort of boss. Anyway, I was wondering, what is your favorite Slayer monsters and what's your favorite boss to make money at the time and the funnest? Thank you. I've always enjoyed doing Abyssal Demons. I'm not sure if he has 85 yet. Those are relatively easy to find, very profitable either way. The second thing is for me. What is boss? I don't know.
As for me, my favorite Slayer monsters, back in the olden days, jellies. Just because, you know, they dropped clue scrolls and whatnot back then, but they've kind of fallen by the wayside, I kind of feel. Especially with higher level Slayer and approaching there. But I'm going to second Abyssal Demons. They're always fun to train at, even if they're kind of slow at Slayer XP. If you have the Mask of the Abyss from the Treasure Hunter promotion way back when, you can assign yourself Abyssal Demons daily. And that's what I did for most of my Slayer training, actually, to level 95, is I just assigned myself some Abyssal Demons.
I actually liked, for me, my favorite one was, I like Dust Devil. Those were cool. Specters were good because they give you hers, which is always a plus in my book to collect as you're doing it.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the fastest Slayer creatures out there that I always felt were the Black Demons. I don't know about you in terms of
demons
getting
are
the most
good
XP.
With the demons are good to slay because when they give you the ashes, which helps you train prayer if you actually collect them. But the other thing is also, demons are very weak to magic or range. Was it? Was it magic or range? I think it was magic. So they're really, and you know, they're really good for magic training. There's plenty of safe spots for you to hide in order to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, when you think about it, you can either go into funnest or most profitable or most XP wise. Moving on to the second part, bosses. I've never really been that much of a PVM type person, mainly before EOC, because it just felt like, you know, there are so many little ins and outs. Oh, we got to play prayer flash or splash or whatever they called it at certain times, and I always found that really annoying. So I never really, you know, took bossing seriously until EOC came out. But after that, what I do prefer is the Queen Black Dragon money making. That is always nice to do. You know, you can solo God Wars nowadays if you're not doing hard mode. But at the end of the day, I really am not that much of a PVM type person. I gave Araxor a try when it came out. Was not successful, mainly due to equipment. But it's something I'd like to try in the future. So.
One thing for me is Bork.
Oh, Bork. Yeah. That's weekly, right?
Daily, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
Bork
so
Bork is good. Bork's a, you know, mini boss you can do now. It's really easy to do. No, don't really any big. Just grab some food, prayer potion, nice big weapon, and have at it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But you need to do a Hunt of Serac.
Yes. Yeah, but that's a good quest, nonetheless.
Mini quest, wasn't it?
Zamorak stuff in there. Yeah, mini quest of the quest. Going back, though, the Kalphite Queen, that was always fun to go to way back when. It's a good boss to start out with as a group of people. I know at around level 100 combat, we were doing it in duos, and we get a couple kills per run. So it might be something to look at doing. Main reason we did it back then was the Dragon Chain. So you can use your mind if you think that's something you want to do.
Especially if you have two people with you, King Black Dragon is pretty easy to kill now. Just make sure you have your potions ready.
Yep. You know, I'm hesitant to say something about the Giant Mole because that's a good way of getting introduced to boss fighting, but it kind of loses its allure fast. Anyways, sorry we're kind of boring on the boss front, but that's just not the kind of game we play. You know, even though it is the best money in the game if you count the QBD or one of the God Wars places. But anyways, I digress. Alrighty. Thank you for your questions, everyone, this week. And if you want to send audio questions in, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com and we'll get your voice on the show. And if you prefer not to do audio, you can head on over to the forums at rsbnb.com/forums and look for the global announcement, which is posted every Monday, where you can ask your question. And we'd love your questions.
All right, now we move on to tech news. And first of all, Microsoft makes Office free for iPhone, iPad, and Android.
Yeah, it's a wonder that they didn't do this sooner. I mean, everybody who gets a new iPhone or Mac or iPad gets access to the iWork suite in terms of having, you know, some sort of productivity thing to write a document or create a presentation or make a spreadsheet. And, you know, there's also the Google Drive option, which is free and, you know, I assume integrates quite nicely on Android. It does on iOS. So Microsoft is losing nothing by doing this. And, you know, by not doing this, it's almost as though they were saying, oh, our software is an elite type of software. And, you know, we want people only who have paid us for their yearly subscription to use it. So ultimately, this is good. And, you know, it is surprisingly capable, this software, because you can actually edit documents and store them in the cloud without having a subscription, which is great. Because can you imagine how many people out there who are going to school or something and have an iPad, but can't, you know, edit the Word documents in the same way that they can edit them on their laptops or desktops.
I, for one, am kind of hoping they don't do their last minute essay on the bus to school.
Well, you know, that would certainly be enabled by this. And
I hope they don't. Do you imagine? Dude, you think texting and driving is bad? Try essay writing while driving. Jeez. You think it's bad now? Wait until that happens. I got to finish paper. I can do it. I'll do it on my way to work. I'll do it on my way to school. Oh, crud. Last thing she wrote. War. Texting and driving is bad. Here.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. I think it's good that they're releasing it, although wish they kind of do the same with desktops, but I really see this as a quick edit thing, not a huge, let's do a giant paper while we're on the bus or waiting for something. So that's my thing on it.
Yeah, and I mean, when it comes down to Microsoft doing this sort of thing, they're not exactly losing money on the home users, because remember, who is Microsoft's biggest customer? It's not you and I. It's the enterprise and whatnot. So with that being said, why don't we just offer this to free to people who have a valid version of Windows 10 in the future? And we can finally say that, you know, oh, Microsoft Office, at least a very basic version of it, is something that everyone has on Windows, so that, you know, people can actually just not need to worry about whether or not they can get the stuff done. Because when you think about it, compared to the options that are out there and the trouble that you have to go through to activate an Office 365 subscription, which in some cases doesn't even work at all, compared to, you know, just getting the free version of Pages or Google Drive Writer, it makes a lot of sense to just offer it for free because of that.
Mm. Okay.
And it's the way of the future. I mean, yeah, sure, you might want to make money on your software, but there are other ways to do that with the enterprise software, with the operating systems, that sort of thing. And if Microsoft can get a good enough hardware strategy going on, maybe they can take a page from Apple's book and focus solely on hardware. Anyways.
All right. Next up, we have Google Wallet use grows after Apple Pay launches.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting. And, you know, as we've said before, it's not really about the fact that Apple Pay launched and everyone's going to be using their iPhone 6 to purchase, you know, their McDonald's or whatever, right? It's the fact that all these retailers who are updating their equipment to support NFC from phones and NFC in general, and especially giving security updates to the terminals in the U.S., which I mentioned a couple weeks ago, is required. And it's looking at what happens in the U.S. in terms of marketing in terminal markets like that, compared to what we have here, it's really absurd. So, nonetheless, the entire industry is indeed benefiting from this. And, you know, sometimes all that's needed is a little kick in the right direction from somebody willing to make a statement. And that's what Apple's really good at. Whether or not you use the iPhone or think they're a good thing, you cannot deny that what has come from Apple Pay is very good for the industry in terms of advancing how we pay for things, much the same way happened for the music industry with iTunes.
Hmm.
The question is, though, are retailers going to update their equipment? I don't know.
Well, quite honestly, it's not that hard now. If everyone using the QR code, surely they just need to adopt that technology and, you know, do with it.
Well, it's NFC, so it's one step above the QR code, and that you don't even have to take a picture of it.
I mean, one thing is also, you know, with a couple of years ago, Visa started the whole the touch thing where like you can swipe your card against a sensor and automatically pay for all your stuff.
Yep.
And you know, it's basically the same idea, just mass marketing with your phone.
Yeah,
Right.
We've had that here with bank debit cards and whatnot for quite some time. Though mine doesn't have that in it. It's definitely a time saver in that case. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think companies, two of them mentioned in this article, CVS and Rite Aid, which are pharmacies apparently, supported NFC from Google Wallet and these contactless RFID cards before Apple Pay. But then they stopped taking payments on this. So they will be taking payments again from them in the future. And as we said, payments using these grew by 50% apparently with this. So very nice indeed.
Okay.
Alrighty. And our last piece of tech news is something that people can look at and take some happiness out of if you are an iMessage or BlackBerry user in that way. On the other hand, if you are using AIM or, you know, maybe Google Hangouts, you should start to think a bit differently about what's going on. Currently, BlackBerry Protected is so-so in terms of security. BlackBerry Messenger is not good at all. Neither is AIM. And these chat services and messaging services are graded based on a number of parameters, like, is the message you're sending someone encrypted in transit? Is it encrypted so the provider cannot read it? Can you verify your contact's identity? Are your past communications secure if the keys to your encryption algorithm are stolen? Is the code independent to review? Has the security design been documented? And has the code been audited? Facebook chat also scores pretty bad. FaceTime is decent. Hangouts is bad. iMessage is decent, but the best options, if you're wanting an absolutely secure experience, are, what is it here, Mailenvelope, and CryptoCat, and ChatSecure Plus Orbot. So, basically, if you're wanting to be very secure, that's what you need to look into, but at the end of the day, when you're thinking about where you're sending messages between people, iMessage is pretty good, and well, if you need to be more secure, the options that you can take are here to make yourself secure. What do you take from this, being a former AIM user?
I really don't care. If you really want to know I'm talking to you, it ain't that hard to figure out.
Okay.
There's a, you know, just say even I work though we use, you know, Microsoft Link and whatnot, and that's supposed to be fairly secure because it's all internal and all that good stuff. But quite honestly, what you want to know, I'll talk to Shane. We talk about Star Trek. We talk about how to make my ship better on Star Trek Online. We talk about we're telling the FBI that we like playing video games.
There you go. Yeah. And I mean, if you're really wanting to be that secure, have the conversation in person. And like I said, the thing that comes from most of this is don't use AIM, don't use Hangouts,
You want to be very secure? What you do? You put a letter. You actually use a paper and a pencil or a pen, if you prefer. Put it in an envelope, seal it, go to their place, put it in their box. With a note on the back saying this match will self-destruct in 5 seconds after opening. Hopefully not a big boom.
Alrighty. Well, in that case, let us move on to other things. And in particular, the Skill of the Month update, which is a bit calmer than it was last month.
You sure? I mean... Oh,
whoops.
Wait.
Wrong link. I'm sorry.
I was like, wait, that didn't seem right.
It should be November, not October.
All right. How do I get there again? Here we go. Let's go to the one. There. Got it. All right. And. All right. Anyway, for November, we have fishing. And as of right now, Parnassius is number one, who has gained over 1.3 million XP in fishing. And second place, we have Art of Nervok, who got 968,000. And third place, we have Sunset Fish at 203,000 experience.
Yeah, no one's really broken away from the pack yet on this one, so people do have the encouragement to continue on, at least. So
well, I think
guess.
For the first, I think most people were more concerned about, let's see what else I need to train first.
yeah, especially with the bonus XP weekend starting in the first day.
It wasn't summoning.
Yeah, that's true. Normally when we have a bonus XP weekend, we have summoning as the skill of the month.
Your thing is slipping, man.
Yeah, well, like we say, they're not chosen by a person, they're randomly chosen, and that's just the way RNG works. Alrighty. Moving on to that, we got a whole selection of achievements of the week from Bonus XP Weekend. Currently, starting at the top, Jesse Pinkman, 99 fishing on November 6th.
Mr. Bistro got 99 fishing on November 5th.
And it's Arceus. 99 cooking on the second, who also won last month's Skill of the Month.
We have Tim 2, who ended up getting 99 crafting on November 2nd.
And some noob by the name of J1, J2, J3 got 99 summoning on the first.
If I recall correctly, I got that at 03:30 in the morning.
Very nice. Very nice.
You wrap it up, Shane.
And Elysian Owens with 99 Dungeoneering on the second. That was not in my list.
I added that. He's a listener. All right, dude. Got you on the show.
All right. And with that being said, let me just state that if you want your achievements mentioned without having to do the extra work, all you need to do is head on over to the forums, sign up, post, and you'll be stored in the RSBNB high scores, where we track achievements, XP progress, the whole nine yards. A very interesting thing to look at. Our high scores at highscores.rsbnb.com. So, that's definitely a benefit from signing up and, you know, posting regularly, is that you get in the high scores and you automatically get included in this. So that's one of the many benefits of being an RSBNB forum member.
Okay.
And I also had a little thing whispering in my ear earlier to mention PC Gaming Tuesdays. This is the thing that happens every Tuesday. We play games that are not RuneScape related, believe it or not. We alternate between Team Fortress 2, Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, and Counter-Strike Global Offensive. If you plan on coming to one of these events, you can vote for it on the forums. And it's looking like next week's event is going to be Team Fortress 2. So you might head on over to the forums if you want to sway that vote. You have until the 10th to do that. But we encourage everybody to come who votes in the poll. So most of these games are free. TF2 is free. Half-Life and Counter-Strike are not free. So vote for TF2 if you want to come to something that's free to play.
No. So thank you, Shane, for about to let people know about PC gaming. But as we all know, last Friday was Halloween in the U.S. And Jimmy Kimmel, a little comedian here in the U.S., did a little late-night thing where, quote-unquote, do something the next day where you parents eat all your kids' candy.
Oh, I didn't
watch that. Be quiet, boy! Anyway, there you go. So have a look, Shane. You may not enjoy it, but I'm sure other people would.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really a fan of late night TV like that, but I guess
time now for our beloved holiday tradition. Ate all their Halloween candy.
Last night I ate all your candy.
Why?
Because it was good.
You ruined my life.
Yeah, we ate it all while you were sleeping.
Oh man, I'm gonna eat it all. I'm gonna eat it all. Jimmy Kimmel said I should eat all your candy. Okay? Okay, I'm gonna eat it all. Yeah, I'm gonna eat it. Okay, this is for me. Let's see. Jimmy Kimmel said I should eat this too. Okay, I think I'll eat it.
All right, well, there's a bit of a preview of that. I mean, I guess if this came off YouTube, that's interesting, but. Were these videos sent to the show, or were they posted on YouTube? Do you know?
On the show. Then they posted on YouTube.
Oh, okay. So these people sent them into the show. They weren't on YouTube beforehand, right?
It's like Saturday night or something.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Monday night.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess that's what you can do if you enjoy, you know, that sort of TV. But I never really found that kind of thing interesting. But...
All right.
I guess young people are just easy to prank, right?
Dude, they're kids.
Exactly.
You're lucky for them to be older than five. Come on, man. Didn't your parents mean to play a mean trick on you, teased you when you were a kid?
Nope.
Well, that's why you have social issues, isn't it?
I don't have.
Yeah, you do.
No. All right.
Star Wars is
what
better.
Have you been up to? What have you been up to?
Oh, I did a little bit of everything on Double XP. I did my farming run, grew up all the spirit trees. I ended up getting 99 summoning. So I did a little bit of agility, but not enough. It wasn't enough to really get me anywhere. I was trying to do other things at the same time. Mostly what I did was I did every single floor from Dungeoneering from level 30 to 56 and got myself to 112 Dungeoneering. I'm Dungeoneered out.
But not 115.
No. I got range level 2, got a 97, which I'm happy with.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, bonus XP weekend, quite the big deal in terms of getting things done.
Ooh, I forgot. I made over 50 million GP by selling all the herbs that I make into potions. Yes!
Really? Really?
Yes. It's on RuneWire.
Oh, I missed that post then.
It's there. Second page, this or show, or so.
Interesting. These are just herbs that you collected over time, right?
Yeah, from when I got 99 herb lore all the way to when I got from the kingdom. There we go. I got from the kingdom.
Okay, that's good. Anything else?
Anything else? No, that's it. Been working. And for those U.S. who semi following the news, apparently the Secretary of the Department of Veteran Affairs is going to make a huge announcement on Tuesday, which is Veterans Day. So don't, not exactly sure what it is, but we'll see.
Okay. As for me this week, most of my results have been in terms of farming. I gained 1.7 million experience in farming this weekend. I also spent lots of money on it, so let that be known. I also got around 700,000 XP in Herblore. Why is Siri activating? I have no idea why that decided to activate right now.
It's been hacked. Okay.
Whoa.
Checking on that. Here is what I found. Take a look.
What you checking on?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Experience in farm this weekend. Also spent money on it, so let Debbie know. I also got around 700,000 XP in Herbalar. Why is Siri activated? I have no idea why that decided to activate right now. Okay. That's weird. Anyways, continuing on from that, I got levels in Slayer, 95 Slayer, Mining, and Smithing. 92 Mining and 91 Smithing.
All right.
Also some Hunter XP just along the edges, around 300,000 or so. So a very, very productive weekend for me. To say the least.
Oh, I'm dungeoneered out.
Yeah, and same thing for me. You know, I basically took this week off farming because all my capital on RS is currently in the Ceridoman brews from the herbs that I was going to sell. So I don't exactly have the ability to go farm right now because, well, I need to sell these brews. And because of them all being injected into the economy, the brews have gone down. So I'm waiting for them to come up a bit. And also, as the result of bonus XP weekend, seeds also decided it was the right time to shoot up. Hmm. So, yeah, that's me.
Okay.
I don't believe we have anything else. So, with that being said, I think that's it for this week's RSBNB update. And as you mentioned, you will be out next week, so we will have someone competent in to talk about the dungeoneering parts of Elf City Batch 2.
All right. Thank you, Shane. And everyone else, you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful RS week.
All righty. See you next week, everyone. Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.